Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're going to talk about the coming doctor shortage and how central planning has the potential to further devastate the healthcare profession. I think it's the American Association of American Medical Colleges came out with a study stating that there's going to be almost a $95,000 doctor shortage in the coming years. And I think that it really underestimates the actual problem. It's not so much or not only the manpower, woman power that we're talking about. It's the fact that doctors are being pushed to the back in terms of delivery of healthcare in our system. They are now becoming more administrators, just like the nurses. They are, you know, their will is being thwarted by the hospitals. And hospitals are in a position now where they're doing what they can to try to retain and, I guess, cajole doctors to come into the system. We've already had a mass exodus of doctors from independent practice to employed positions in hospitals because of the pressure put on independent doctors from the insurance companies, from the government, from all the compliance, from the new value-based system that's coming online. And I think that that exodus is reaching its peak, at least from the practicing physician standpoint. The people coming out from residency programs, that's a whole other story. We talked about how the medical education system has changed in order to produce doctors who don't want to be entrepreneurial, who want to be told what to do, who only want to have a 9-to-5 job and just do what they're bidding, what they're bidded to do and go home. But even those doctors are being burned out by a system that takes away the incentive to be an individual thinker. They're working or seeing dozens of patients in a hospital setting, if not hundreds. And they are working hours that are pretty crazy. And now and this is a whole other ballgame. They're pulling in doctors as contract labor to try to placate the ones that are already on the payroll. So this whole system is just not designed for long-term success. And I think that's the whole mindset behind it. I think it's to demoralize doctors, to demean doctors, to have a healthcare system that's driven as if it's a conveyor belt. No thought, all central planning, where committees and pharmaceutical companies design medical, evidence-based systems of care that are supposed to be efficient, but in actuality are more expensive, don't really keep people healthy. It's not about health anymore. It's about managing disease. And when you're sucked dry in terms of your pocketbook, they put you out to pasture. That's the system. And anybody who thinks outside of it, whether they're into nutrition, whether they're into natural-based medical choices, whether they use supplements instead of big pharma as the answer, they're being removed from the system systematically. And that's a tragedy, because that's not what medicine's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about individualized health care, treating the patient as not a disease, but as a person, and tailoring whatever the treatment option is to what the patient needs. And it's all become about cost, as we've talked about at length on the show. People are cost centers now. What Dr. Berwick envisioned has come online. What Ezekiel Emanuel has brought with his complete live system and the so-called bioethicist, where it's not about morality. It's about what's good for the many outweighing the needs of the few. Ethics and morals are put out to pasture in this type of system. And this year, I think it's going to be extremely obvious to those who are looking for health insurance plans, either to renew them or those for the first time are in for a very rude awakening on how much it's going to cost to supposedly carry a health insurance card that's going to give you access to quote-unquote quality health care. It's just another taxing scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme. And unfortunately, the older you get, it's basically signing your warrant to end up in a palliative system that basically makes you comfortable until they can get rid of you. It's tragic. And those who think that this is a system, that healthcare is a right, that doctors are evil, that we just want to make money, you're going to be in for the same rude awakening as those who don't think that way. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think you're dead on, and we've got a situation that costs are going through. You know what I'm amazed at, Dr. George, is going in for any procedure or anything. You try to cross the T's and dot the I's. You go to your insurance company. You go to the doctor's office. You go to the doctor's billing people. And they can't get a handle on it. Nobody seems to have an answer. And so the patient is sitting there after they've had something done, waiting for the hammer to drop, the shoe to drop. Whereas, the answer is the surgery center of Oklahoma, where they give you a bundle price. And I don't see any answer to this. I don't see it getting better. The doctors aren't getting the money out of it. They're getting paid what Medicare has decided whatever happens is worth. And the system just really reeks. And as we spoke last week, I think folks are finally, after all these years, since Obamacare, they're finally getting the brunt of it. And they're going to see longer waits, just like you started out. There are less doctors. They're going to... And you may in the near future have to speak a foreign language to even communicate with your doctor, which is a scary thought too.
Pretty much happening.
Oh,
look
yeah.
At the VA system. That's exactly what your future is going to be like. I mean, there's a plethora of foreign-trained physicians in that system that are not able to communicate well with the patient. You see it in rural areas already. And it's coming to a hospital near you. There's a whole pipeline of foreign-trained medical students, especially from the Caribbean. That's a pipeline into our medical system in the third year and into the residency system. And they're not trained the same way that we are. I'm going to be honest about that. These are the people who couldn't get into the medical schools in the United States. It's a business, and it's an expensive business, where their medical schools are far and away more expensive than ours, but they're paying for the privilege of having an MD. So we've seen, the quality of doctor that's being trained is different now than it was 10, 15 years ago. It's different. And these guys are more social engineered, if you want to put it that way. There was a whole movement, I guess it was maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, to have the doctors coming in be more diverse because of the patients that they're going to treat. And this is a symptom of the entire system in the world, especially in the United States, where political correctness supersedes quality. It supersedes ability in some cases. And it's all designed to just put a face on it or some sort of cosmetic picture that it's not right. And we as patients and doctors need to stand up and stop taking this.
How do they pass the state and local tests?
Well, I was told, and this is by somebody who worked at a foreign medical school in the higher echelon, one of the deans of it. I was told that they got a copy of the part one of the board exam, and they were teaching to the test. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like core curriculum or whatever that stupid education system that we have here now. It's not about thinking. It's about teaching to a test. That's not healthcare. You cannot train a doctor by just teaching them what you need to know for a test. That's ridiculous. But that's they do very well on the board exams, but it's because that's all they train to do. But if it's anything outside of that, and you're actually doing patient care and it's real time, you're talking to somebody who has no idea what's going on. I do remember when I was working in out of state in a contract position that I had, one of the people who trained outside the country didn't understand the Latin shorthand for a prescription. I mean, come on. It was shocking. This is a person on a pediatric ward, a resident, who didn't understand shorthand for a prescription. This is what we're dealing with in the healthcare system. Let me tell you, when you have an electronic medical record system and everything is pre-populated for you, it gives you a chance to be able to not know how to vote. Suppose the electronic medical record system went down. This person couldn't even write a hard copy prescription.
How did they prescribe?
Just like everything else in our system. Make it shorthand, make it electronic, dumb it down so you can get over and get people who would just follow orders, not question them. That's the system that we're living with, Dave.
How did this person prescribe?
Electronically. You go onto electronic medical record, you put in the diagnosis, different medications pop up. You pick it, and you put the number of days you want for the patient to have it, and it prints out in a prescription pad. That's how they do it. It's all about automation and regimentation. It's not about healthcare.
Can they ever become a decent doctor?
Listen, it's a foundation. I remember how many hours I took to study for the boards. For example, it was an 8-hour job every day. You got up at 8 to about 6 o'clock, and then we met as a group and we went over it for 5 weeks straight, nothing else. Basically didn't even leave our dorm room as we were studying for this part one of this exam. We didn't have the answers. We actually had to go through the book. Every single page, I have it in 3 different highlights. I could close my eyes and remember what I read. That's how intense that studying was. And that's how I took my medical education from the first year to the time I graduated. There were no shortcuts. I remember physiology. There were 3 of us who took a, 5 of us who took a specific track where we self-taught, and we went over it and taught each other and had to go over and explain to each other the physiology of the what we were learning. And I still remember it to this day. And I understood it in detail, not by memorization, but by understanding it. You can't teach a doctor, of all the volume of information that we have to know and continue to learn, you have to have a foundation of how you're taught. And if it's all memorization, if it's all someone telling you, these are the choices that you have to treat a disease, you're not going to be a very good physician because you cannot think outside the box. And that's what they want. We have complex medical illnesses, and everybody's got the same cookie-cutter treatment plan. And they're driving doctors towards the lowest common denominator, especially doctors who are on salary, because they don't have the option to pick something outside the formulary because it's not offered, or because you're going to get questioned by a case manager because you're costing the patient too much money, or it's going to, you know, make the hospital look less efficient. When they tell you that you have the top 100 hospitals in the country, when you see that addition in U.S. News and World Report, what you're really looking at are the hospitals who follow the mandates, the compliance of the government to a T. The closer you follow that in terms of how many doctors you have on staff, how they prescribe, what the medical algorithms, if they're followed to a letter, that's what makes you the top hospital. Not really the bedside manner. It's all about questionnaires. Let me give you an example of value-based medicine. I know we take a break.
We're up against the heart.
Okay, let's take a break, and I'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today. This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings for Medicine on Call and participate in a lively conversation. Learn what's happening behind the headlines in medicine. Understand Obamacare. And learn how to protect yourself and navigate the system.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, I was going to talk about how the system, what value really means to the system and how regimented and central planning has come online. In this new era of value-based medicine, hospitals are now are compensated 30% of what constitutes good care that leads to compensation in our system now is based on patient questionnaires. So it's not about really delivering quality care. It's about having the patient leave the perception that they got good care, supposed customer service. And when those patients send those questionnaires back, they have to hand them in, to the government or to whatever central insurance-based model they have, Medicare, and they decide on whether the hospital gets paid. So it's not really about outcome anymore. It's about the perception of outcome. And it's ridiculous. How can you, as a physician, do your job when you're concerned about not keeping the hospital happy, not doing your job as a physician and taking care of your patient? It's about the hospital questionnaire and making sure that you dot every I, cross every T to keep the customer happy. And that's not just the patient, it's the hospital. I don't understand how doctors who are in that system really manage to have any kind of morale when any patient who decides and knows the game, like a drug seeker, for example, and those are people who, come in because they want OxyContin or some sort of chronic pain management patient. The doctors who take care of those patients have written about this problem, where they actually have to write the prescription. They have to become drug pushers in a way to keep that particular type of patient happy so they don't write a bad customer service reply back to the hospital. What kind of system is this? It's not healthcare anymore. It is just a joke.
You wonder why the American public isn't waking up to this.
I think they are slowly. I think that patients, it seems that almost it's a two-tier system. There are the patients who, and for whatever reason, firmly believe that doctors are on this earth to serve them. And they want what they want, and doctors need to be at their beck and call and like it. That's the progressive model, where doctors are the enemy, and we've been demonized in order to bring in this system of centralization. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound anything like the policemen, maybe, where they're demonized so they can be federalized, and central control takes over? It sounds eerily similar. Same playbook. Now it's their turn, right?
Kind of
interesting.
I was in a situation Monday, as a matter of fact, and I was in the process of changing doctors, and the new doctor was fine. I had no problem with him. I had checked credentials and all this and well qualified. And everything was fine with he and his nurse, And then I go to billing and scheduling, and this is where it turned into a zoo. And, you know, the back office has to be, in my opinion, has to be as good as the front office. And when I walked up to billing, it was the poor lady was arguing with an insurance company. And I had flashes of you at some of our conversations. You know, you shouldn't, maybe I'm just so old that it's all different, but there's a reason that you go to see a doctor, and you shouldn't come out of that situation feeling hostile in any shape, form, or fashion. You may not feel better, but you want to have the hope that you're going to be better or whatever, if that's what you're there for, if it's for testing or whatever. But, you know, I couldn't believe when I walked out of the office, I was really ticked off at the system.
That's the goal. The goal is to pit the doctor against the patient while the insurance companies and the government are literally making up compliance rigmarole as the day goes on. You're the face of it as a physician, and that's designed to have the patient to hate you, to want everything, you know, control the doctor, they're the problem. The more regulation, the better, because it'll rein them in. That's not what's going on. We just got a letter back. Insurance companies have gone to a new low, honestly. We got a letter back. We were trying to do a procedure. We asked, contact the insurance company, send the medical records, get a predetermination, meaning technically. We told them what we want to do. We asked for the approval. They gave us a pre-approval number, you know, a certain designation stating that, hey, it's covered under our patients, our clients' benefits, and yes, you can do it. That's what we got on the phone. We subsequently got a letter stating that these codes are covered. However, our ability to pay it, our willingness to pay it, is based on what happens when you send the claim in. So, meaning, you're not really allowed to do this. You know, you're taking it in your own hands to do it, because we get to decide after you submit the bill, after you've done the procedure, whether or not we're going to cover it. What kind of nonsense is that? who does anything of this in society, especially when you ask permission to do it and you're given it, that the rug gets pulled out after you've performed the case? What kind of nonsense? This is what they're pulling. Why go through the hassle of getting a number when they're telling you it means nothing?
This is what you just said was exactly what I was told by the billing people I don't know what kind of insurance you have, and if they find something while they're doing the test, well, your insurance may not cover it.
She's right.
Wait a second.
She's told you the truth, because that's what the insurance companies do. You may have a benefit package. You may have coverage on paper, but when it comes down to the reality of the procedure, the test, whatever the office visit is done, the service is provided, they have the ability to say, okay, well, we're not paying it now. We changed our mind. Oh, we have a different system now. We have a different code or whatever benefit that's associated with it. And they get away with it. And to top it off, under certain contracts, the doctor cannot bill the patient, because if the insurance company doesn't cover it, the patient is not responsible for it. What kind of system is this? That's why doctors are leaving in droves. That's why they're no longer taking insurance, because we're done with this. I don't think any physician who's in practice today, especially private, has never not played the game. We've done everything we possibly can. We've hired people to talk with the insurance. We've taken courses on how to code. You know, we've done everything. I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm sure I'm not alone. And my job at this point is to get out from this. I want all insurance gone from my office, because I refuse to play this game anymore. I'm not doing it. And I'm concerted effort as going forward on extracting myself from every insurance plan that I take right now. That's my future. because it's not going to get better. And under the Affordable Care Act, they have more power. And under all of these mergers, Aetna is now merging with Humana. We talked about past Blue Cross merging with Cigna. It's antitrust. They're becoming too big to fail. And there's your single payer moving towards, you know, singularity. It's almost like an artificial intelligence moving towards one single entity that's too big to fail. You have nowhere, they think. Doctors will have nowhere to go, and we're just going to take it. Well, no, we're not. We're not going to do it. And good luck to anybody who enters the system who thinks they're going to get a doctor who cares, who's going to be their advocate, who will, you know, pick up the phone and call them and commiserate with them after hours. Hell, during hours, it's not going to happen.
Well, we have painted ourselves into a pitiful corner, or the government has painted us into a pitiful corner.
Well, it's only pitiful if you have the mindset of you give a damn. The government doesn't care. All of this rhetoric about fairness and everybody's equal and medicine is a right is total BS to conscript people into a system where all they're doing is paying out of pocket to continue the system's existence. This money that's going into the healthcare system has not made the cost of healthcare cheaper, but it has encouraged the growth of hospital systems, of pharmaceutical bonanzas, of mandated money leaving your pocket and going to friends of. That's all it's done. Has it made healthcare better? It hasn't decreased the amount of people getting diagnosed with cancer every year. It hasn't really increased the life expectancy of people with terrible diseases. It hasn't done anything to make real differences. It's caused you to lose your medical freedoms. I'm sure they're going to start coming online with mandatory vaccinations in order to X. They already have it to go to school, which isn't true. If you actually produce a waiver to your school saying you're not doing it, you don't have to. This is all designed to control us from cradle to grave. And if you're all concerned about your health, you can't be concerned about anything else that's going on in the world around you. And that's what they want as they continue to bankrupt you and enrich their friends. Wake up, folks. If you don't stay healthy, if you don't do active things to make sure that you're not on 1,000 prescriptions by the time you're 40, or God, it's getting younger now, you're going to be at the mercy of these people. They want you on a drug, at least one, every day for the rest of your life to manage some chronic disease that they get to control. Sounds like everything else in society. Put us on some sort of public assistance, whether that's an EBT card or some sort of disability, some sort of money coming from a central point that they can pull in the rug or pull out the rug anytime they want, so you become beholden to them. Have a job that barely pays you anything, but raise the minimum wage and make you less likely to have a job, because the small businesses will be aced out when the $15 minimum wage comes online, so that you can go on public, assistance of some sort. You know, I don't know if the UN is doing it, but they're trying to create, just like in Sweden, where you get paid a certain amount of money, everybody in the country gets a certain amount of money as a baseline. Then that would be the most disastrous thing ever if that came online. Everybody would be a debt slave to the government.
Dr. George, we're up against...
Once they disarm you, what do you got?
We're up against another hard break. So
let's take it.
We'll take it and let everybody what you just said, and we'll be back right after this.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, one of the things that gets missed in this centralized system that we are coming online with is common sense. You know, the fact that the Association of American Medical Colleges is the entity that gets to decide how many residency spots there should be, how many seats for medical school there should be, and ultimately how many specialty seats there are. For example, ear, nose, and throat, there are about 14,000 residency positions nationwide. Or maybe it's actually smaller than that, I think. It's actually smaller than that, I'm sorry. There's 14,000 ENTs in the country practicing, I believe. And the residency spots are less than that. Ours had 5 in per year that trained. There were some that had 1, some that had 2. So it wasn't very many spots. On medical internal medicine, I'm just estimating 10 or 11 spots per year. It's different for specialty because of the doctor power that's needed to take care of that many patients. So when they give monies to the medical schools and the Association of American Medical Colleges and the government, they actually decide by monetary means how many people end up in these specific specialties. And because there's money involved, because there is a control of how much somebody makes, you know, how much a code pays, for example, it's about $100 to do a set of ventilation tubes, we call PE tubes, for children with ear infections. That's not, you know, $100 to spend, leave your office, go to the OR, spend a couple of hours getting there and back, actually loses a doctor money. And in the past, I remember when I was a resident, I think they made about $1,500 for the tube. And that included all pre-op and post-op. To go from 1,500 to 100, you're making a tenth of what it costs. It is not real world. All the prices of tools, of equipment, the cost of doing business, all of that's gone up in the past 15 years, but the reimbursement has gone down. That's across the board, pretty much in every specialty. Not so much, and it's been a movement taking away monies from what the specialists make to the primary care side. So we've been hearing from the powers that be, the media, that primary care is so underpaid. It's all because the specialists are taking up so much money, et cetera. This is not really, it's very subtle to try to make this argument, but I want you guys to try to understand it. I spent 10 years to train to be an ear, nose, and throat doctor. It's 3 years to train to be a pediatrician, a post-resident, postgraduate, 6 years for ENT. I think it's 8 years for neurosurgery. So there's different amounts of energy, time, expertise spent on pursuing whatever it is you want to do as a physician. And that time should be compensated for. You should not have to apologize and be paid less than somebody who decided not to go into surgical subspecialty or general surgery. And what it's wrought is people are not going into surgical subspecialties as much, and we're ending up with a loss of talent, of doctors who can perform complex services. What happens in this system when we've weighted it towards primary care and you need an ENT or an ophthalmologist or a neurologist or a neurosurgeon and you don't have them? It takes 10 years to train to be an ENT. It takes 12 or 14 to be a neurosurgeon. When you those guys retire, you're going to have a system that doesn't work. They don't think about that. And I think in this particular article, they're now starting to mention that the medical specialties and surgical specialties are now losing people. And now it's like being on a seesaw. They're trying to micromanage and central plan when they should let the market work for itself. Not everybody's going to be a neurosurgeon or an ENT or an ophthalmologist. They're not. And people would actually go into a specialty based on what they love as opposed to what monies they're going to make if you stay out of it. And for those who think that, we need lots of family practice, et cetera, I'm going to make an argument that it costs us sometimes, in a lot of instances, especially in a hospital setting, it costs the system more money to have all the primary care involved because they don't do the complex services. They don't know when to refer for something that should be specialized. I've made the argument and I've given the example before. People being managed for a sore throat ad nauseum with 50 different antibiotics when they have a cancer. And had they been referred to an ear, nose, and throat doctor earlier, they would have been treated. But instead, they end up with a stage 4 disease, end up with costing the system and themselves in terms of their quality of life more. This is a system that actually has checks and balances in it. If you're not being encouraged to hold on to a patient, to keep them from being referred to a specialist because of capitation, because the system pays you for quality evidence-based crap, then the patient would actually end up being treated sooner for disease, being diagnosed sooner, not having an extra CT scan or an extra test because you don't know what you're doing, but you're just trying to cover the bases or CYA. It all costs money down the road. It's a subtle argument, but I live it, and I've been in hospitals and seen how it works. They will consult you for earwax because they don't have an otoscope. They don't feel like looking for it. Charge the patient for the ear, nose, and throat consult when the hospital gets paid for it. Now you're in a position where you go into an emergency room, they don't treat you anymore. They may manage you and give you a referral for an outpatient follow-up. So we're now on the opposite end. People being charged for stupid consults. Now we're having people being kicked out of the hospital because of cost concerns and capitation where, if you keep the patient in too long, it's coming out of your bottom line and your profit at the end of the year. So you want them out of the hospital as fast as you can get them. So I've talked to patients who had mini strokes who should have been worked up in the hospital and had their problem taken care of. That's a clot in the carotid artery. They're being shipped home to play Russian roulette and follow up as an outpatient when they get an appointment in a private office, which could be weeks away. Or they ship you to a different hospital because they don't have the specialist on staff in a hospital. They just have an ER, but they don't have a general surgeon. They don't have an OBGYN. They don't have an ENT. So they ship you to a centralized location, and you get double tax, or I should say double billed, for the ambulance ride to the other hospital because the first hospital couldn't take care of you. There's no checks and balances in this system. So the patient is getting charged for their supposed ER visit where they did nothing but transfer you somewhere else, pay for that other ER visit. I mean, it's just, it's a complete system that's, it's failed. And it's being encouraged to get bigger, Pac-Man more private doctors into it, control the market where you get everybody who's competition out of the game, no freestanding surgery centers, get rid of any doctor who has the same specialty as your doctors do because it's not fair. I mean, this is just, it's sick. And you have a government sanctioning it on a local level as well as on the federal level. Until the patients decide that they're going to go to an independent physician, that they're going to go to a direct primary care practice, and they're going to go to a system that's outside of this, that is accountable to the patient, accountable to their pocketbook, offering quality health care in a timely way. You call, you get in the same day. Patients need to start accessing that part of the healthcare system to put pressure on this monolithic system where the government is driving this crap that they want to call healthcare. The government is not the answer, the patient is. And if you make conscious decisions about where you want to spend your money and with whom, you're not going to get anything better. You're not going to get anything cheaper. And you're going to, unfortunately, get what you deserve. I'm blessed that I have patients who come to see me who get it, who are partners in their care. But before they walk out of that office, out of my office, they know how much it's going to cost them. I'm going to get them better, and I'm going to put them in a position where they're not on a medicine every day to manage a problem instead of, a symptom instead of treating the problem. It's time to wake up, and it's time to take your power back.
Dr. George, is there any place off the top of your head that folks that are listening that haven't ever listened before can go? And I know they should go to your website. Let's talk about that and the blogs that you do.
Sure. You can go to drelainageorge.com. D-R and my first name, Elena, E-L-A-I-N-A, George, like the man's name, .com. There's links along the side of the webpage to various websites and organizations that are doing what I'm discussing. Surgery Center of Oklahoma, American Association of Physician and Surgeons, Association of Independent Doctors. There's a growing list of websites, of doctors, of organizations that are really all about doctors and patients becoming partners again instead of adversaries. There was a whole summit a year or two ago called Let My Doctor Practice, where it was a coming together of doctors who were tired and demoralized and just wanted something to do to get themselves out of the system. And that whole mindset is growing. What we need and what we are asking are for patients to partner with us. This is not rocket science. It doesn't have to cost you millions of dollars to stay healthy. And it doesn't have to come out of your bottom line. Talk about medical cost sharing. Dale Bellis has been on my show. Medibid. There's a whole website where you can go and literally bid for medical services across the country. You can go to
Let's let everybody get a pencil and a paper while we're taking a break and continue this where they can write it down so they can start taking care of themselves. You're listening to America's Web Radio, Medicine on Call. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Are your health insurance premiums going up? You are not alone. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org to understand why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. This is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together, we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Again, you can go to my website, and all of these links are on there. And I'm about to add Patient Advocate Partners of America. It's patientadvocatepa.com. That's the website that has the information on Med Retreat, as well as a membership where you have for as little as, I think, $7 a month. And the maximum of like $19 a month, they actually will provide you services where you can have a nurse that you can talk to, or you can have discount dental plans or doctors who actually are able to, dentists who see you at a discount. I think it's a 50% discount. You have people who will, if you have gone to a hospital and you have a crazy medical bill, they actually will be your advocate. Go over the bill with the hospital and get your price reduced. And this is services that are affordable for most people. I think that is, you know, a way to take your power back, not be, damaged by the system that thinks you just are completely useless. And they also have telemedicine or teleconsults. So you have telemedicine, so you don't have to go and see somebody. Nursing line for consultations, 50% dental savings, prescription savings, lab testing savings. If you have to get a radiology study, they also offer discounts through that. Vision, hearing exams, 20% off doctor visits. It's amazing. And if you're a diabetic, they give you 60% off of diabetic supplies. And that's for $19.99 a month. That's a pretty decent membership. That saves you a lot of money. There is a website. Let me see. I think it's called, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on it, but it is a website where you prepay for your prescriptions. It's called blinkhealth.com. And you go and you pay for your prescriptions online. You take a slip to the pharmacy and you get medication like things like blood pressure medicine can actually be about $5. Yes, even less than the $10 that you're given through the Walmart or Publix pharmacies. They give you some discounts and some free medications, but they're generally all generic. These are by brand name we're talking about, so that's pretty cool. So things like the standard, I'm drawing a blank, the blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medication, things that are generally pretty expensive, you can really get significant discount. So, for example, something, give me one medicine that you might be taking, Dave, and I can tell you. Like Zocor, is about $30. It's free under this Blink Health. I mean, it's just amazing. And you can look up the medicine that you're on and know exactly what it is in your area before. Again, you know what the cost is before you buy the medication, as opposed to going to the pharmacy, handing it in and getting a sticker shock when they give you some crazy price for something that's been around for years. So there are a lot of tools that are out there that you can use that you don't have to have anybody help you. You can take control of your own health. That's the key. And once you become a wise consumer of your health care needs, and you start to find like-minded doctors who, once you're in the system, they send you to their colleagues who think the same way. Next thing you know, you're getting better health care, and you know what the costs are, and they're controlled costs that won't gouge you. And you pick something like Liberty HealthShare or Samaritan or MediShare, anything that's a medical cost-sharing entity, you've just now liberated yourself from whatever they're going to pull out of their hat coming down the path. I don't think about this anymore. I don't worry about paying for a fine because I don't belong to an insurance company. I am happy as a clam, and I'm spending so much less money, but I have the peace of mind of knowing if anything happens, I'm double covered because I chose Aflac as a secondary. So I have policies in place that will pay me a lump sum, $250,000 if I get a horrible diagnosis. It pays me if I go to the ICU. It pays for ambulance services. It also pays for routine doctor visits and wellness exams. If I need a colonoscopy, it gives me money towards that. And I mean a check the next day. So these are things that will allow you and your family to have peace of mind and not be beholden to all of the fear-mongering that goes on in the system. There's one truth about the healthcare system. As with everything, apparently, that our society seems to hype, and that it's artificial lack. That's what the system's based on. They're creating artificial scarcity. They do it by running doctors out of private practice. They do it by demoralizing doctors, making them quit the profession. They do it by removing registered nurses who are used to be partners with doctors on the front line of care, making it more palatable because of, you know, carrots of more money and a little bit more autonomy to become case managers. So what they're doing is they're gatekeeping for the hospital. They're not taking care of patients. They're not laying hands on patients in the hospital bed anymore. That's far from it. And while they incorporate people who are trained 1 year, sometimes less than a year, if you're talking about, nursing aides and medical assistants, which are the step under physician assistants and nurse practitioners, there's a whole system of providers, because I'm a physician, I'm not a provider. But these are mid-levels, extenders, that we used to term them, to help the system run. But they're all designed to just get it done, not think. And now they're not even trained to do what they're supposed to do. I've had medical assistants come to my office after training who can't do blood pressure. They don't understand how to do a blood pressure. They can't run a blood pressure cuff. Are you kidding? Why are you a medical assistant if you can't take a blood pressure? You don't know how to read it. This is what we're doing. This is the system that we're setting up. But each of these people have to be paid. And they get paid a pretty good amount. A physician assistant at this point gets paid more than a physician. If you take in the time and the malpractice and the cost of doing business, they're getting paid more than a physician. They don't have to pay the overhead. They don't have to pay payroll. They don't have to pay malpractice. These are things that are covered by the doctor or the hospital. So the system is flipped, where the people who should be on the front line, who have the training to be on the front line, who have the mindset to think outside the box, they're being removed and replaced by people who will just follow orders. That sounds like everything else, whether it's TSA, whether it's, you know, the police that are federalized, whether it's teachers that are teaching to a test, It's the same thing. And it's all designed to have gatekeepers who are happy with their making money, comfortable or protected, keeping their foot on the necks and the backs of everybody else. I don't subscribe to that. And if you really get out of your comfort zone of your tribe of, you know, identity politics and my group thinks like this, so I have to think this way too. If you stop doing that and move back to being an individual and look at things in a clear and dispassionate manner, I think you'll realize how manipulated this whole system is and how it's working against you 9 times out of 10. Withdraw your consent. That's what I'm doing. It makes me a much better doctor, makes me a happier person, and a more productive citizen. And I'm hoping that people who listen to the show are unhappy with what's going on and are willing now to take a look, kick the tires, go out on the web, do their own research. Nothing that I say should be the end-all, be-all. You need to do your research. I did mine, and I've come to my conclusions based on hours upon hours of going out, learning things that are uncomfortable, that I didn't know, and I can make informed choices. It's all about you making your own choices that are best for you, not someone telling you what you should think, how you should act, and you should be happy about giving, and in this system, getting less and spending more. That should make anybody happy.
1 minute.
I guess that's pretty much all I have to say for today.
Well, give them your website one more time. They got their pencil and paper ready to go, so let them have your website again.
Sure. It's drelenageorge.com. And I've written a book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System. And I think that's a really good primer to understand our healthcare system, how we got here, where it's going, and how you can extract yourself from it and win. It's all about winning for you and your family and not being a victim in this system. And I hope you guys have a great week and take care of yourself. Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.